Then Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. It is a joy to be able to witness not just the celebrations of today, but the celebrations that have been going on for the past month. And for those of you who feel like, wow, we had 11 caroling events and I didn't get to join any one of them, can I still join one? Well, thanks be to God, you still can, because tomorrow on Boxing Day, December 26th, we will be at Starling Mall to finish it up and to continue the Christmas cheer. So you still feel like, wow, I want to join this. Please do come and join us. It is tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Is that right, Joyce? 2:30 in the afternoon, Boxing Day at Starling Mall. Please join us there. We can continue the Christmas cheer there before the Dong Dong Chiang come out for Chinese New Year. Okay, already there are some places that are already doing that. I understand they really need to push that really quickly, but I will say it's a very hard thing to transition over. Christmas is celebrated globally across races, nations, ethnicities, language, simply because in Jesus Christ we see the hope that springs eternal. So now you've already heard the Christmas message from caroling, from the songs, from the reading of Scripture. Let me just sum up today on how we can know the birth of Jesus is also the birth of hope. I'll read to you very quickly the scripture that is usually read for Christmas. It is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And I'll just read to you very quickly, and I'll give you this sending message for each and every one of us so that the Christmas spirit continues to abide and abound in each and every one of us. Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and he was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there were no guest rooms available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things up and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we give you praise that even especially on this Christmas day, not only do we celebrate the day of your resurrection on every Sunday, but this Sunday we remember of your coming to us. And in you, O Lord, hope is born, abounding and eternal forevermore. Now we ask, O God, that you teach us this hope that you've given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. How was hope born at the birth of Jesus Christ? When Jesus Christ was born, the angels opened up and says, "Glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace on whom his favor rests." Let me just give you these five simple points from the abbreviation PEACE, P-E-A-C-E. Yeah? Hope is born. Hope is, the reason why the hope of Jesus Christ is celebrated every Christmas and continues to be the hope around the world is because the birth of Jesus is the birth of hope, and this hope is perfect. This hope is perfect. Perfect in any and every way. People tend to forget that the birth of Jesus Christ was not just some random occurrence that had happened in this world. It was perfectly planned. It was prophesied from the Old Testament, from Isaiah chapter 9. A virgin shall conceive and give born unto us a son, and we shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Long ago, even from the moment when we turned away from God, God refused to turn away from us and already began the plan ahead to redeem us through His Son, Jesus. His plan and His hope, therefore, is perfect. It is perfect also because He could have been born in any time and era, but He was born in Bethlehem during the time of Tiberius Caesar, where Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Now, you might look up to me and say, Mark, what is the significance of these points? Well, a few things to be said. Number one, Bethlehem, therefore, is a real location. Okay? Bethlehem is a real location. You can get on the plane, apply visa first, go over to Jerusalem, take a two-hour drive up, and you will be at Bethlehem, and there's a real location where we will say, there is where Jesus was born. No one debates it. No one denies it. It brings a reality to our hope. Yeah? We don't sing, for Christ is born in Valhalla. You know, for those of you who know your Nordic and your Thor. We're not talking about legendary places that this gospel piece or this Christmas story happened long time ago in a land in mystical areas. No. It's very recent history. It's 2,000 years ago. It's at a location where we can go to today. God's hope is perfect because Jesus was born in an era where a global kingdom was ruling over most of the known world, the Roman Empire. If Jesus was born earlier, he will only be looked upon as merely a tribal god because he's from Israel, and it's only unto Israel. But because Israel at that time was under the Roman Empire, there goes the message of Jesus Christ and the antiquity, meaning to say that we around the world, no matter where you are, we would have heard of Rome. And when you hear Rome, you definitely will hear the gospel story. Because embedded, planned perfectly by God, He had given His Son Jesus at that time to show that yes, although Caesar Augustus was the leader of the empire, there comes a new empire soon, and His kingdom shall never end. This Christmas season, we've been buying presents and packing them up and giving them to one another. And I can say this, if you love the person whom you are giving the gift to, not only will you know exactly what to get them, you will know when and how to gift wrap it, place it nicely under a tree and into their hands when it is time. You have thought it through, and in that moment, that gift to that person is perfect. It shows that you knew what I wanted, you knew what I needed, you knew how it would be best be given to me, you knew what would be the best gift for this Christmas season. Friends, the Christmas season is a perfect gift of God for all mankind, for His glory. While we are busy giving gifts to one another, we forget that today is Jesus' birthday. And usually for birthdays, we give gifts to the birthday boy or the birthday girl. But instead of giving gifts to Jesus, you don't see a basket in front here. It's because in the manger, the perfect gift was given for the hope of God in the birth of Jesus Christ is the perfect gift for you. When we see babies, especially if the baby is like just out of hospital, so young, so meek, so mild, we'll look at it and we'll go, aww. Not only because it's cute, but because babies represent a hope for the future and a drive to say, I will make sure that the world ahead is ready for the children in the future, for the future generations. God, on the other hand, says, I will give my son, and in my son, future generations may find hope in him. Hope in Jesus Christ is perfect. Hope in Jesus Christ is eternal. Hope in Jesus Christ is eternal. P-E. So perfect, eternal. Well, how is it eternal? Well, as I said earlier, as it was prophesied, in that prophecy, it was made known to us that in Jesus, not only will he be born king, but his kingdom will know no end. We remember it in when the angel Gabriel gave that message to Mary. An angel appeared to Mary and told Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you shall conceive a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. The angel is reminding Mary, and is also a message unto us today, that God's kingdom and God's hope is eternal. How is it eternal? We remember in the earlier part of the message that Joseph and Mary had to go back to Bethlehem in the town of David, because that's where we do the balik kampung and the registration is there. It reminds us that not only was Jesus born from God, born by the perfect miracle of God, but he was there to fulfill the eternal prophecy of the eternal kingdom of David. For those of you who were here a couple of weeks ago, the message was given from 2 Samuel, and in 2 Samuel, even then, God told David through the prophet Nathan, your descendants will establish a kingdom, and the kingdom shall know no end. It's a very fascinating thing, the birth of Jesus, because Jesus was not born a prince then to become king. Yeah, this year also we have seen the ascension of Prince Charles, now called King Charles III in United Kingdom. And I bet you in his heart of hearts, he said, about time. He has waited to be king longer than many of us were born. And that strive and struggle he had had. And of course, it's sad that his ascension to be king is because of the death of his mother. So we see hope trying to be constructed by humanity will always have its downfalls and pitfalls and down dips. Even in Japan, for example, when an emperor steps down, there ends the era of that emperor. And there is no certainty as to what the next years will be. Until the emperor comes up and he proclaims, this is what my empirical year will be like. And then maybe it might go that way. Yeah, Japan still follows this emperor method, where one ends one era and begins another when a king dies or retires. But the world has been and continue to march in the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know this? This is the year 2022. 2022 what? 2022 Anno Domini, AD. 2022, the year of our Lord. Which Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, God's hope is eternal, and his message rings true around the world, and the world today can march in tandem together under the king, under the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. His hope, therefore, means is available the same in the past, present, and in the future. His hope is eternal. You see, when we put our hopes on something on this earth, our fear, because our hope built on this earth is therefore has the potential to break down or just decease and end, we will always have this uncertainty. Whether this government will go through or not, or whether this government will follow its practices or not, or whether the world's wars will finally end or not, or whether how the economy will be next year. All these things we cannot put our hope on because we can never know what tomorrow brings. But this we know we can bring on tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And this is why in Jesus Christ, His hope is eternal. His hope is perfect. His hope is eternal. His hope is alive. His hope is alive. When Jesus was born, the vision, when Jesus was born, His birth was proclaimed by angels to the shepherds. And you have to understand the imagery in the shepherd's mind for the idea of a Messiah or a God to be born. It should be a majestic birth. It should be at a very Instagrammable location. It should be at a time where the lighting is perfect and we can see Him glowing out in the stars. But when the angels told the shepherds that the Messiah is born among you, this is how you should know. This is the sign to you. You will find the baby born not in a castle, not in a palace, not in a hotel, in a manger, which is an extension of a middle-class house. Not in robes of gold, silver, not covered in jewels or silk, but in common cotton cloth. And he was not born and presented among a court of kings and presidents and governors and commissioners. He was born and presented among animals. To the vision of the shepherd thinking of this imagery, he says, this is so weird, but if it's true, glory be to God. And then when they went to that manger and saw everything, you see their reaction. Wow, hope is born and hope is alive. That means that what? Jesus is not just a philosophy or a way of life or a principle. No, this birth of Jesus and this hope, therefore, is a person, and He is alive and He's breathing, and He is actually at that location which God had declared that He will be. We then have a point of reference. We also then have a person that we can run towards to. And when Jesus' birth And at Jesus' birth, hope was not only alive, hope was also very much real and understanding to our situation. Legends and myths and stories in the past about God's coming in on this earth is always like an idea of a legendary mythical figure, like a demigod, like Hercules, who came down on this earth and knew no pain because he had so much strength. Yeah, he looked like he struggled, but did he really struggle? You know, and when he conquered the 12 tasks of Hercules, did he really struggle? No. In all the pictures, say, you see the snake, he tied it in a knot. You see the wild boar, he roasted it. You see the Minotaur, he cut off his head. All seems very easy. But what is the task of Jesus Christ? His task was to bring the world back to God by His sacrifice. our eternity, our ability to live is because of His death. And His passion, His suffering His suffering for us, for that sacrifice, so that we may come before God again. His passion or His suffering did not begin at the cross. It did not begin at the whipping. It began at His birth. Can you imagine at the birth of a baby, at His birth, God cried. Suffering began then. And His suffering continued through. He was not put into a palace. He was a carpenter's boy. Privileged tutelage. He didn't go to an international school. He learned the trade from his father and learned the word and learned the Torah and the word from the community. And when he stood up and proclaimed that the kingdom of heaven is here, repent and believe in the good news, he didn't do it on a throne of gold. He declared it among common men. Why? Because his hope is not just to be a principle. His hope was not meant to be a philosophical exercise. His hope is made for us to relate and personalize in the living Christ. God's hope is perfect. God's hope is eternal. God's hope is alive. God's hope is complete. In Jesus Christ, the whole scriptures, all of His prophecies is fulfilled. So not only did the prophets proclaim the birth of Jesus, the prophecies also mention of what Jesus will do and how His sacrifice becomes the complete salvation or the complete saving grace or the complete way that we can return back to God totally forgiven. And it is a free, complete gift of God. Again, this whole interesting mystery of on the birthday of a God, presents are given not to Him, but to one another. Because His gift is complete and is meant for you to share unto others. For what reason do you children get presents on Christmas Day? I see there are kids here below 12 years old. Maybe you can tell me the answer. Why do you get presents on Christmas Day? Your birthday, I understand lah. You know? And if you got a present on Christmas Day just because you get all A's in your exam, your parents are not teaching you Christmas the right way. Parents, repent. Some of you may remember this story. Okay? But I remember, okay, the deal that I had with my parents in order to get the premium never die Nokia 3310, the phone, I needed to get at least 5 A's in my PMR. Some of you guys, so easy. I know, easy, right? I got 2 A's, 2 B's, and 3 C's. I knew that day I was not supposed to get the phone. I was never meant to get the phone. But before the camps began, before youth camp, BB camp, NCO retreat, and all that were to begin, on my birthday, I thought maybe they'll give me something else. But in the end, I saw, it's a heavy box. Oh. This big one. I opened it, it's the Nokia phone. I'm like, Mom, Dad, I didn't get the A's. I didn't get that grade. Then my parents told me, now you know what a gift really is. Now you know what grace really is. That which we did not deserve, that which we could not complete ourselves to be righteous before God, Jesus completed it for us as a gift. And that is the hope for us today. It's not just a hope that maybe might gao dim later. There's no waiting. Friends, this may be the beginning story of the gospel narrative, but we know the end already, that Jesus had completed it on the cross, where he died for our wrongdoings, the wrongdoings which we can never, ever, ever make amends ourselves. For those of us who have been into university before, even if you are given even if you give the perfect assignment late, you fail. And if you ask, doctor, please give me an extension. Give extension, but you never get the full grade. At best, you get pass. But what if God's grade for eternity is perfection? What if it is 100%? We will never be able to get it. There's no retakes that we can do in our lives today to make our life perfect again. Jesus came in perfect, complete, and completed our work, our efforts. He had fulfilled our lackings freely for us to receive. That's why, my dear friends, the message of Christmas is not just for Christians alone. The message of Christians is by Christians to the world. And that's why it is celebrated around the world, despite any sort of political or any sort of global crisis of conditions. Many of us might remember the story where during the Great War, it was the Germans versus the Alliance. And they were fighting, and they were fighting for days on end. But then 24th December came around, and they asked the question, should we continue to fight then? Then they started hearing Christmas carols being sung over the other side of the battlefield. And on that day, on Christmas Day, for one day, soldiers on both sides of the field came up together, shared each other's food, sang songs of Christmas, and from that moment, there was true and complete peace. In Christ, we may have this peace. Without Him, we walk back into war. We see the Christmas message and the Christmas spirit being such a desired thing that even in Japan, when the Americans were stationed there and they could not find a turkey to have Christmas, what they did? They bought KFC. They bought KFC, they sang Christmas carols, they heard, the Japanese neighbors heard it and asked, hey, what's this all about? Oh, we're celebrating Christmas, come and join us. They didn't have a turkey, they had KFC. But the good thing about KFC is this, all the parts already cut, so you can share very easily. Ever since then, in Japan, on a Christmas table, it is a bucket of KFC. And the beautiful message of KFC that keeps on going out in Japan is this: this Christmas spirit is to be enjoyed, but also to be shared. In Jesus Christ, hope is perfect, eternal, alive, complete, and then, of course, it is for everyone. It is for everyone. The first audience of the birth of Jesus was very specific. Kings did not come. We know the story that the three wise men came, but we know they came later. Because immediately at the birth of Jesus, the angels came to shepherds. Shepherds who were working in a winter's night were basically the lowest earning income. The lowest in all walks and manner of life. Don't know how to read, don't know how to write, don't know. They basically had to live, or they're very, in other words, they're very poor and marginalized. The angels did not go to the king, because if they did, then the kingdoms and the and the and the And the oligarchs or the leaders will have monopoly over this message. But he gave it to shepherds. And after the shepherds witnessed this, their message was given to everyone in Bethlehem all the way to Jerusalem. It then goes to show, friends, that the hope in the birth of Jesus is a hope for everyone. Friends, I don't know where you came from today. I do not know whether you had come already hope abounding because Christ Jesus has been working in you, and we've been working together to share this Christmas hope in caroling over the past month. Or maybe some of you came today to say, hey, you know what? Christmas seems to be such a big deal. And since there's nothing much going on for the end of the year, why not I find a reason to be happy? Why not find a reason to celebrate? Why not find a reason to have joy? So friends, this gift is for you. If you came here just looking for a sense of high spirits, happiness, the promise of Christ is this: because His hope is eternal and His hope is for everyone, you can possibly leave here with the eternal joy of knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior. I hope that in the days or in today, as this service will end, you will reach out to the friend who invited you. Or if no one invited you, by some providence you have walked into this hall and you have no one to talk to, please fill out that invitation, please fill out that card so that we may follow up with you and share with you this hope that we have in Christ Jesus. But for those of you who are invited by friends, I pray that you, I dare you, I double dare you, ask the pertinent questions. Ask, what does it mean to be a Christian? Ask, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Ask, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? Which I should actually tell you now. This eternal hope that was born in Christ is available for you today as soon as you confess and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. This hope is born for the world to receive His eternity. And in Christ Jesus, as long as He lives and rules and reigns, so bears His hope for all humanity. And if it's available for the whole world, it should therefore especially be available to each and every one of you. Let's pray. The Christmas season is the beginning of the Christian calendar. What is that? The Christian calendar is this. Our way of worship is based on the narrative, the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we start today in Christmas and we build up our celebration to Easter. And in that Easter, we then continue in that message of hope until Christmas again the next year. So today marks the beginning of the Christian calendar for the celebration of Jesus. Let me ask you today that this will not just be the beginning of the Christian's calendar for celebration, but I pray that this will also be a new day in your lives. This can be your new day, friends. This can be the beginning of your new life. And to do that, my only ask and hope is that you will give your life to Jesus and call Him Savior and Lord, so that we can truly say, glory to God in the highest, gloria in excelsis Deo, and on earth there is peace on whom His favor dwells. The call of the gospel is very clear and simple, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that He rose again from the dead, we are saved. this Advent, this Christmas season, we are not just remembering the first arrival of Jesus, but we are looking for and anticipating on the second coming of Christ. And while this day of grace has been given to us, I pray that we will not take it for granted. I pray that today, of all days, you start the new year in January 1st, but you will start a new life in Christ Jesus today. If that is your desire, and if that is your call, you can say this prayer with me in your heart. You can say this prayer to me in a whisper. All I want to know is that this prayer is to God. If you want to start a new life in Christ Jesus, pray with me today. Lord Jesus, thank you for your gift of eternal hope. Thank you, on the cross, you died for my sins, and now I can be called your child. Thank you, Jesus, by your sacrifice, I am now saved eternally. Now, Lord, be my God, be my rock, be my Savior. Be my King, be my hope, be my future. Let me surrender my life to you today and every day forevermore for all eternity that you have given to me. This I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Lord, for those who have heard, those who have said that prayer in their hearts and the utterance of their lips, I pray, Lord, that you would move in them immensely, that your Holy Spirit, who had begun a good work in them, O Lord, will now bring it to completion in Christ Jesus. And for us, brothers, and for us, your children, O Lord, who has been faithful in this church, faithful in your family, we pray, O Lord, that you give an added blessing of hope, an added blessing of joy, knowing that they can celebrate this day as they have before and now on to forevermore, because of that which you've given to us beginning this day. So, Lord, we pray that we will lift up our holy hands and praise you. We pray that we will declare that in you we may have the hopes and fears of all the years that are met in thee tonight. Oh, Lord, we can then truly go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Oh, Lord, that we can truly join the angels and say a glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners, we are now reconciled. So, gracious Father, I pray that this Christmas marks the beginning and never the ending, the beginning of a new and vibrant way to witness your hope for the world, that in your birth is your gift, and your gift be forevermore. We surrender this into your hands, O Lord, and we ask that we, as freely that you have given us, we will then give unto others. And because your gift is abundant and there's always more to share, give us, O Lord, the open heart that we may share it to others as well, especially in this Christmas season and especially in the year to come. This I ask and pray in Jesus' name.